This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series, and I hope it's been helping you. It's been helping me out. And the series is on the power of words. Amen. Words are powerful. Somebody say, words are powerful. Amen. And so it's been a good series, and it's been helping me because I'm learning not to talk as much. Amen. And sometimes you don't get in trouble. The Bible says if you talk less, it will keep you from sin in your life. Amen. And it's helping me just to stay a little bit more quiet and more reserved and think about, you know, we got to think about what we say before we say it. I'm going to say it again. You got to think about what you say before you say. It's not what you say, it's how you say it that counts. Amen. So, you know, last week we were in, my theme last week was, do you remember the theme was, each week I like to have a theme in my messages. Last week was calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, you call the things that you believe that God wants to do in your life. You call it into existence. You don't call what is, you call what's not to be. Amen? Amen? To be or not to be, that's the question. Amen? And so we want to call into being what we believe that God wants us to do in our lives and the calling and the giftings of God that's in our lives. And we line up our word with God's word. Amen? And so really, I'm going to make a powerful statement this morning. You can't separate your faith from your words. I'm going to say that again. You cannot separate your faith from your words. Because you can say one thing, amen, you proclaim something, but and then act another way or do something different. So your words and your actions have to align. And our faith and our words are closely connected. Amen. And I'm going to say this. I could talk to you for a couple minutes and I can locate with the words that you say out of your mouth where you are in your faith. If you're speaking, oh, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to the end of the month. I'm dealing with this problem. I'm dealing with this issue. If you're telling me all your problems, then I can locate your faith. Now, if you start telling me a little bit about the promises of God's word is good. You know, he's going to help me to overcome. He's with me today. If he be for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. I can locate your faith. Amen. So your words will tell off on you. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? And it will actually tell you where you're at in your faith. So we have to think about, you know, what we're saying all the time. And I know that can sound legalistic. Like, Pastor, you're putting us under the law. You're putting rules on us. We can't be free to say whatever we want to say. No, you can't be free to say whatever you want to say. In other words, every thought that comes in your mind doesn't come from God. See, the problem is with the world. Man, I'm about ready to get out of my seat today. The problem with the world, you know, the world, you've heard of this. Has anybody ever heard of this? The woke generation. Anybody ever heard of that? And this woke generation, it goes contrary to what the Word of God tells us. And this woke generation goes with, you know, that, you know, now you got to use the proper pronouns. And does anybody know what I'm talking about here? And these people that are going with this woke agenda is based on whatever you think you are, you are. And whatever comes into your mind, and you take a hold of whatever comes in your mind and you start thinking on that, that can become your reality. See, the devil understands how the power of thoughts work. And what he wants to do, he wants to project thoughts, and people think that thoughts that come in their head comes and originates from them. All thoughts don't originate from you. Some thoughts do come from the devil. Some thoughts do come from our unrenewed flesh. And some thoughts do come from God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so just because you think something doesn't mean you're thinking it. I'm going there. That doesn't mean, just because a thought comes into your head doesn't mean that's your thought. Doesn't mean that's who you are. You don't identify with your thoughts. You identify with what the Word of God says about you, what the Word of God says, what you can do, and what the Word of God promises you in the Word. Amen? And so I like this because in James 3 and 2, this is really good because these are foundational scriptures we're going with through the series. James has a lot to talk about words. The book of James is actually called the Book of Wisdom. And he says in 3 verse 2, he says, "For all we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man able to bridle the entire body." So we can control our bodies. We can control the atmosphere by our words. You believe that today? You can control your body with your words. You can control the atmosphere with your words. Your words can create an atmosphere for either the devil to move or for God to move. Amen. Can I say that again? Your words can create an atmosphere for angels to move on your behalf or for the demonic spirits to work against us. Amen? And so we got to understand that. This is the reason why at the very beginning of the service, and most church services, I think all church services, start out their service with praise and worship. Why do we do this? Because we want to create an atmosphere. Amen? We want to create an atmosphere for God to move. So what you're doing when you're speaking words, either words, godly words, if you're speaking godly words, it creates a godly atmosphere. If you're speaking ungodly words, it creates an ungodly atmosphere. Can I get a witness in the house? And you can set up the atmosphere in your house. You can set up the atmosphere in your car. You can, how do you do that, K-Love? K-Love, yeah. Worship, music. Get some atmosphere going. Get some worship going. Get the atmosphere conducive for God to work. Because we can shut down God working in our lives by the words that we speak. We can either tap into the power of God or tap into the power of the devil. And I want to tap into the power of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so you can control your environment. Remember when Jesus was on the boat, he was sleeping, and then a big storm came. He told the disciples to go to the other side. Well, a big storm came and the disciples got nervous. Whenever storms come in our life, it's the main cause for these storms. The devil wants to send storms in our life to rob us of our faith, to get us in doubt and unbelief. And so the disciples were there and they had Jesus in the boat, but they almost forgot that Jesus had the power. And I'm going to say this. No matter what storm you might be in, Jesus is in your boat. Amen. And Jesus has the power to help you overcome. Amen. Do you believe that today? And so what did they do? They woke up Jesus on the boat and said, "Master, do you care that we perish?" It's interesting that they would say that to Jesus. Do you care? Have you ever said that to God? God, I'm going through all this stuff. Do you really care? Have you ever been there? God, do you really care? God cares. God looks over us. If he can keep his eye on the sparrow, he can definitely keep his eyes on us. Do you believe that today? And so what do? They woke up Jesus, and you need to, when that storm comes in your life, you need to wake up Jesus in your life. You need a waking up Jesus is speaking the word of God out of your mouth when the circumstances come against us. And what did Jesus do? He said, "Peace, be still." And so what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to create turmoil in a believer's life. And so he does that through thoughts and impressions, through suggestions. He's going to try to tell you that you're not going to make it, but the greater is he, Jesus, that's in us, than he that is in the world. Do you believe that today? Say, I believe that today. And I love this because the second scripture with the foundation of this series, it says in Proverbs 18:20, New King James Version, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. I love that. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. What this is saying is you'll never go hungry. But I like the King James Version of it, because I kind of hit on this last week and the week before, is that we're here and we're not just here to occupy. You know, you're here to occupy until Jesus comes. In other words, to occupy is to stand your ground. And not only are you here to stand your ground, but you're here to take more ground. Can I say this again? You're not here just to keep what you have. Oh, I'm going to keep what I have. No, you're here to move forward and to gain greater ground. You're called to increase. Somebody say, I'm called to increase. So we're not just called just to maintain. You're not just called just to maintain. You're called to move forward and increase. And I like what it says here in the King James Version. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I like that word increase. How many people like the word increase out here? Do you think God wants us increasing? Or do you think he wants us decreasing? Do you think God wants us moving forward or going backward? No, God always wants us increasing. He never wants us to decrease. So with the power of our words, we can cause increase to go forth, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. And then the next scripture is, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the fruit of our lives will be the sum total of what we are saying on a day-to-day basis. What are you saying? Are you speaking increase every day, or are you speaking decrease? Are you saying God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, or are you saying something of the opposite? Are you saying, I don't know how we're going to make it? I don't know if we're going to be able to make ends meet. I don't know if we're going to make it to the end of the month. No, no. God will help you make it. Can I get a witness now today? So let's go with this idea this morning that God has given us power to control our bodies. God has given us power to control the atmosphere that we live in. And think about this. Last week, I focused on my main point was calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, the Bible says that God gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. So if there's things in your life that's not working, things in your life that might seem to be dead, maybe there's body parts that you're dealing with that has issues, you need to start speaking life to those body parts. You need to start speaking life instead of death. Instead of saying, oh man, I got a problem in this area. I'm always dealing with this situation. I got a bad leg. I got a tricked knee. No, start speaking to your knees. Start speaking to your body. Start calling those things that be not. Say, the Bible says don't. You know, if you're weak, don't say that you're weak. It says, let the weak say that they're strong. In other words, you overcome the weaknesses of the flesh by the word of God coming out of your mouths. Amen. So you got to start saying, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, I was at a birthday party yesterday, and we were celebrating two birthdays at my mom's house. And yesterday, and we were all having conversations, and my nephew was there, and I used to do the same thing, and sometimes we do that, but But I notice he said something over and over again that I would say too when I'm dealing with situations. He said, "I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm tired," and he must have said it over 20 times in just different conversations. "Oh, I'm tired," and if you're, I know you might be tired, but don't confess you're tired. Because the more you confess something, that's what you possess. I might be a little older chronologically. You know, some of you know that I'm 39 and holding everything up, amen, and trying to hold it together, amen. But you know, just because you get old chronologically doesn't mean your mind has to get old. And I want to say this, no matter how old you're getting, you're not going to lose your mind. And the devil will try to get you to think, "Oh man, my family had this problem with their mind and this problem." You're not going to lose your mind as long as your mind is in Christ. As long as you keep renewing your mind in Christ, this is good for all the senior citizens out here. Not the senile citizens, but the senior citizens. Amen. Amen. Don't be calling yourself senile. Amen. No, you got the mind of Christ, and that's for the older people in here, and you will never lose your mind. You believe that today? Why? Because you're constantly renewing your mind with the Word of God. Don't let the devil make you think just because your cousin or your uncle or your grandfather or even your parents had some senility, some issues with their mind, doesn't mean that you're going to have it. Why? Because you're a born-again Christian. And you know the Word of God. And you're getting the Word of truth preached every day or every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night from Pastor David. And so if you're getting that Word of truth and you're applying that Word of truth, you will not lose. That's for somebody today. You will not lose your mind. Amen. Somebody say, "I have the mind of Christ." Amen. That's just a side journey. I'm not going to charge you for that. But let's go. Let's continue. So we need to speak to our bodies. We need to speak to the atmosphere. We need to speak and we need to cause things to change. And you can cause things to change for the better. God operates in speaking creative words to control outcomes of life circumstances. God operates that way. Jesus operates that way. Jesus changed the circumstances and the landscape of wherever he was at. When the people were hungry, he got a few loaves of fish and he broke it, multiply it, and they were hungry, but after a while, none were hungry because they ate all that they wanted to eat. Jesus was able to change things through speaking words of faith and blessing. What he did was he blessed the bread. He blessed the fish. And if you start blessing things in your life, you're going to see increase. Amen. I'm going to say this. Don't be cursing. Just because your car doesn't start all the time, don't curse it. Bless it. It might be two-tone rust and gray. Amen. It might be a beater, but it's your beater. Amen. Glory to God. And it's going to keep going. My wife has a car, and we've been driving. We're still driving. She got it when she was a teenager. And we still drive it today. Her parents are so impressed. "You still have that car?" She says, "Yep. Yep, I still have it." And it's, 1998, that car is going to be a classic. Why? But the Bible is very clear. The Bible said that when you're under the blessing, the Israelites were under the blessing, their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And that car is going to keep going until we pass it to our daughter. No, we won't do that. But she said, "No, she's getting the new car," right? Amen. So let's look at this. God creates things. God creates things by speaking words of faith. And that's how we're going to create things. Look at this. This is powerful. In Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says this: "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but waters the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So we see here that this is how God operates. His word, he sends his word, and he causes his word to prosper in whatever area he's sending it to. And so we need to act like God. We need to start speaking words that of increase and prosperity. And when we speak these words, it's gonna happen in our lives. You believe that today? When you start, you can't speak poverty and walk in prosperity. You can't speak sickness and walk in healing. You can't speak defeat and walk in victory. You have to change the way you speak about things. I'm looking at victorious Christians in here this morning. I'm looking at a victorious church this morning. I'm looking at more than conquerors. Do you believe that? Well, but Pastor, well, you know, yeah, there might be circumstances that might be telling you you're losing, but God's word is saying that you're winning. So don't, so allow the word of God to change the environment. Allow the word of God to change your body. Speak life to your body. Speak life to your mind. Speak life. Amen. And so we're either going to be a victim or a victor in this life, and we'll all depend on the words that we speak. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose victor over victim. Amen. And God already tells us what we are. He doesn't tell. See, even the world will try to tell people, and will even try, even political people will try to say, you're victims, and you need the government to help you. You're a bunch of victims that need the government. No, you just need God to help you. A lot of people buy into this idea, I got to have the government to help me. No, you first and foremost, don't depend on the government. What they might give you today, they may take away from you tomorrow. So what they give, they don't put your faith and trust in the government. Put your faith and trust in God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we don't want to put our faith in that. We want to put our faith in that. In God, and I'd like this because the Lord already tells us what we are, and we got to go with what the Lord says. I love that in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So in that scripture, God is already telling us we're victors and we're victorious. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you can overcome the world. The Bible says this is our faith. Our faith is in Christ Jesus, and our faith overcomes the world. Amen. I like what another translation says. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us a victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have victory over sin and death. Why? Through the power of the risen Jesus Christ. Anything in the category of death is anything that's negative that will try to attack our lives. It could be depression. It could be poverty. It could be whatever that's negative. And you have victory in Christ Jesus. God has called us victors and not victims. So I want to focus my message on this morning on taking control of your circumstances. The subtitle of my message this morning is Take Dominion. Look at your neighbor and say, take dominion. See, again, when you're taking dominion, see, the devil's going to try to take some dominion in your life. But you can't allow him to take dominion in your life. You're going to have to learn to take some dominion. Let's look at something that's powerful. It's in Genesis. It says here, then God said, let us make man, Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness, and let them have dominion. Notice that? He created us, and he tells us, let us have dominion. Then he says, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps. And somebody said that you have dominion over creeps. Amen. You have dominion. Somebody say, I have dominion. So God created us, think about this, in His image. God created us in His image. And so, and God blessed mankind. And he said here, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the, again, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so the first thing that God did when He created us, He blessed us. I'm going to say this to you this morning. You are blessed. You are blessed. Even though you might be dealing with some circumstances, you might be dealing with some issues, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you are blessed. God has blessed you. You are not under the curse of the law. You're under grace. And when you're under grace, you are under the blessing. Amen. Say, I'm blessed. Amen. And so God has blessed us. How has He blessed us? Number one, He blessed us by creating us in His image. He created us in His image. Somebody said, you want to know what God looks like? Look in the mirror. Someone said that. Why? Because God made you in His image. Now, I'm not saying that we're God, but I'm saying that we're made in the likeness of God. We're not God, but we're made in the likeness of God. We're made in His image and in His likeness. God is a speaking spirit. I'm going to say that again. God is a speaking spirit. John 4:24 says it this way. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus said God is spirit. Amen. And I'm going to say this to you today, that you are spirit. You live in a body, and you possess a soul, which is a mind, will, and emotions. Amen. We'll get to that in a moment. But God is a spirit, and God creates everything by the word of His power. Do you believe that today? And I like what it says in Psalms 33:6-9. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters and the seas together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And I love this part. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, I'm going to say something to you today. The Bible says this in the book of Revelation, that we're kings and priests unto our God. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a king. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a priest. Amen. You're kings and priests. And what do kings do? They decree. Kings decree, they give commands. And so what are you supposed to be doing in your daily life? Giving some commands. You're supposed to be decreeing some things. You're supposed to be confessing some things. Like this is going to be a good day. You have to start confessing and believing that God can make it a good day, even if it's raining. Sometimes it's raining outside. Oh, it's going to be a bad day today. No, even if it's raining, it's going to be a good day. In other words, the weather should not control what we say or how we feel. Amen. The circumstances should not control that. Amen? And I love that. So, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So, these verses tells us that God is a spirit, and He not only created the worlds, the sun, the stars, everything, the planets, the solar system. He created heaven. He created a supernatural residence where He lives and where we're going to reside. Do you believe that today? And He creates everything good, glory to God. And how many people are looking forward to heaven? Streets of gold, pearly gates, hallelujah. The grace of God fully manifested, amen? And so we got to understand this, that we are spirit, we live in a body, and we possess a soul, a mind, a will, and emotion. 1 Thessalonians tells us that in 5:23. It says, may the Lord of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I turn that into a prayer. I pray that prayer over you guys. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Why do I pray that? Because I want everybody raptured in here. In other words, we got to be ready for the return of Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, I'm ready. And so may us be ready. May us have our oil filled. May us be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So we are creating God's image with the ability to choose words to create or destroy. Notice we are spirits in a body. And I'm going to say this, that your body will talk to you. Has anybody's body ever talked to you? Your body will tell you, I'm hungry. Get me something. I want a donut. You know, has anybody ever had that? I gotta get a donut. I bought 3 donuts yesterday, and I normally just buy 3 donuts for the kids. And then they had this special donut. It was really a nice looking donut. I bought one for myself. I should not have done it. I normally just give the kids donuts. You know, they got the high metabolisms. They can handle it. I'm gonna declare I got a high metabolism too. Amen. I can handle a donut. But anyway, 400 calories. But anyway, and so what? Your body will speak to you. Do you know your body will talk to you? But you know what you need to do? Talk back to it. Your body will tell you something. Will tell you, I'm tired. I had the vitality of the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Amen? Amen. I got the Spirit of God. Amen? And so your body will speak to you. Do you know your feelings will speak to you? You know your emotions will speak to you. Anybody ever been that your feelings? You ever get anybody ever does anything bad against you or upsets you and you get upset? Amen. Your feelings will tell you to do some things. Has anybody ever had their feelings tell them to do things? But we're not supposed to be controlled by our bodies. Or our souls, we're supposed to be controlled by our spirits hooked up with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. We're supposed to be controlled by our spirits hooked up with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love this because in Romans, you know, Paul talks about this in chapter 7. In chapter 7, he talks about the body getting out of control, doing things that you don't want to do, and you almost forget that you're a Christian. This is in chapter 7 of Romans. But I like what it says in Romans 6. He says in Romans 6, 12 and 14, talking about not letting the body control you, saying, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive unto God and dead to sin as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, don't get lost in what I just said. It says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Amen. We don't have to obey the lust of the flesh. Amen. In other words, the Bible says it this way, submit to God. Somebody say, submit to God. Resist the devil. And what will the devil do? He will embrace you with all he can. No, he will flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Well, what does that mean, Pastor, submit to God? That means you submit your tongues to God's word. The main thing you submit to God is your tongue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the main thing. You submit to God. You resist sometimes you got to hold back unkind words. Has anybody ever had to hold back unkind words when people are doing some negative things to you? You have to kind of hold it back. Submit to God. Resist speaking your feelings. And what will happen? The devil will flee. Amen. He's saying here, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. We have to count our bodies dead to sin, dead to the drawing of this world system. In Romans 8, 12, it says it this way, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you're put in death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So you don't have to obey your bodies. You don't have to obey your feelings. You just have to obey the Word. That's all you got to do. Just obey the Word of God. And so we need to be Spirit-led. And when we're Spirit-led, we're not yielding to the flesh. We're yielding to the Lord. And when we're yielding to the Lord, we're going to speak life out of our words. Amen? Death or life is brought about by what we think. Think about this. Death and life is brought about by what we think, and what we think on will eventually come out of our mouths, and what comes out of our mouth will dictate the actions and the circumstances of our lives. I'm going to say this again. Death or life is brought about in what we think on. What we think on will eventually come out of our mouths. What eventually comes out of our mouths, we will take action in. So what you think, you'll speak, and you will act. Amen. I remember when I was back here, when I was in your seats years ago, and I was in church, and I wanted to go to Bible school, and I didn't know I was in debt. I went through a lot of hard times in my life, and I was living at my parents' house at the time, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I believed that I was going to go to Bible school, and I started saying, "I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to Bible school." And I didn't know how I was going to get there. And I just kept saying, "I'm going to go to Bible school." And I start telling people about it. I'm going to Rhema Bible Training Center. And then all of a sudden, as I started speaking it, things started lining up to it. As I started speaking it, doors started opening. As I started speaking it, God started making things happen. And all of a sudden, I'm praying about it, and then I'm thinking about it, and then I think about, wait a second, I don't have any money in the bank, I'm in debt to MasterCard, I'm living at my parents' house, I just went through a divorce, and I'm like, how am I going to get there? And then all of a sudden the thoughts came, you got a 401k, and you got money in your 401k from your job. And then I started thinking, and then I started asking questions. How do I get that money out? Well, you got to resign your job by February because their fiscal year is February. And if you resign by February, you can get that money. And I thought, well, that would help me get to Rhema. That would help me go to Oklahoma. And so I started thinking about that. And I think, well, I'm going to go ahead, and because I'm going to Rhema, I'm quitting my job. You start, all of a sudden, things start coming to you. God starts giving you ideas. He starts giving you wisdom, showing you what to do. And then I found out that the boss that hired me, I was in jewelry at that time, that the boss hired me, he was in the Midwest, and he was near the school that I was going to. And I gave him a call, and I asked him, I said, and he hired me for the jewelry business down here, but he ended up in the Midwest working for another jewelry store. I said, I'm planning on moving out there. He said, won't you come work for me? Think about this. Come work for me. And he said, I'm going to FedEx everything to you. Come work for me, and I'll take care of you, and I'll make sure you get to your school and get. What am I saying? I'm saying when you start thinking about something, when you start speaking about something, when you start meditating about something, it's going to come to pass, good or bad. Good or bad. The more you think about something, the more you speak about something, the more it's going to start to come to pass in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So you need to start meditating on the promises of God's word and allow the promises to come out. Let's go back to taking dominion here, because in Genesis, he talks about this and he gives man five decrees for men to walk in. He said, first of all, he says for us to be fruitful, number one. Number two, for us to multiply. Number three, for us to fill the earth. Number four, for us to subdue it. And number five, for us to have dominion. And so I want to focus on these two keys at the end, to subdue and take dominion. Amen. We're supposed to subdue and take dominion. Subdue is being under control, especially by exertion of the will. In other words, if you have a will and you set your will to do God's will, you will be doing God's will. You'll be walking in the Spirit and accomplishing what He wants you to accomplish. So you got to set your will to do God's will. Number one, that's subduing. Dominion is number two. Dominion is having rule and authority over natural circumstances, over the natural world. And so God's calling us to take dominion over our natural circumstances in our lives. So he gives us power to subdue and to take dominion in the realm of our influence. And this is always done by words. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It's always done by words. If you're going to subdue, if you're going to take dominion, you got to do it through your words. You got to do it through your words. I love this. And you might say, well, Pastor, how break this down. How do I actually subdue and take dominion? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says it this way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I know this is a mouthful here. So to break it down, number one, you must present your bodies to God. If you're going to walk out this victorious life in Jesus, you must present your bodies to God. How do you do that? You're in church today. You're presenting your bodies to God. You're in church. This is called a worship service. And so you're presenting yourselves to God. Amen. You're in. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall bear good fruit in old age. You're being planted in the Word of God. You present your bodies. You present your bodies in front of the Word of God, in front of the Bible. You present your bodies in front of, you know, your favorite preachers. Glory to God. Number two, you must renew your mind with the Word of God. So how are we going to take subdue and take dominion? We present our bodies, we renew our minds with the Word of God. And then number three, we prove out God's perfect will when we align our word with His word. Amen? So in other words, we have to think right, speak right, and act right. And so when we're thinking right, we'll speak right, we'll act right. In other words, what we need to be doing is we need to be meditating on the Word of God, because the battle is in your mind. I'm going to say it again. The battle that we battle with, even you today, you're hearing me preach and some of you are thinking about lunch. Some of you are thinking about where you're going to go. No, stay focused. Stay focused on the Word. And you got to meditate. You're thinking about what you're going to do this week. You can check out. The lights are on, but nobody's home. I'm looking out here and some of you are like, the lights are on, but are you home? You know, but you can check out. Don't check out. Amen. Check in. Amen. And so how do you check in? You the battle's in the mind. So you have to meditate. And meditating is speaking God's word over and over again until it removes fear and frustration and moves you into faith and hope. When you meditate on God's word, it will remove fear and frustration and move you into faith and hope. And that's what we need to be walking in as Christians. Now we will be presented with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions all the time. These ideas and suggestions can come from God or the devil. So when we spend time with God's word on a daily basis, we will be able to decipher what's coming from God and what's coming from the devil. I'm going to say it again. When you spend time meditating on the Word of God, you will know. Some people say, how do I know it's God speaking to me and not the devil? Well, you can know because you're rooted and grounded in God's Word. And when you're rooted and grounded in God's Word, whatever suggestions come in your way, if it's coming through an avenue of love or it's coming through an avenue of selfishness. If it's coming through love, you know it's probably God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so what happens when the wrong thoughts are coming our way? What happens when we're battling wrong thoughts? Because we will all encounter battles of wrong thoughts time to time in our lives. And I like this scripture here. It's in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Paul is saying we don't war against the flesh. You cannot fight the flesh with flesh. I'm saying again, you cannot fight the flesh with flesh. You must fight the flesh with the Spirit. See, it's not by our might. The Bible says it's not by your might, not by your power, but by His Spirit. That's how we overcome. Not by how strong we are, it's how strong He is. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourselves, and in the power of His might. So we don't fight these battles in our minds with flesh. We fight it in the Spirit. In other words, you stay in the Spirit, you will always win. You get in the flesh, you're going to lose. Is that right? You get angry, upset, start spouting off, saying things that you don't mean, then it's going to cause problems. Is that right? Amen. And so we need to be governed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. It says here, notice the second verse, our weapons and our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. The mighty weapons we have is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that can take down the natural words that are coming against our lives. See, what's going on is that we have patterns of thinking. It's called strongholds, pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a pattern of thinking of how you think. Well, I'm poor. I've always been poor. My parents are poor. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm always going to be poor. Well, you're always going to be poor. That's it. Because why? Because you get what you say. Well, I grew up poor. You know what the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil, so I'm staying poor. You know? Some people may think that way, but it says the love of money. But if you love God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things are added to you. Seek God, things come to you. So God doesn't want us poor. He wants us prosperous. In other words, He wants you blessed so you can be a blessing. Amen. He doesn't want you given a hand. You know, He doesn't want you having a hand out. He wants you given a hand up. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so if you have these thoughts, my parents dealt with diabetes and I'm going to have diabetes. No, you have a new bloodline in Jesus Christ. Just because your parents have diabetes doesn't mean you're going to have diabetes. Just because your parents were overweight doesn't mean you got to be overweight. You don't blame your parents for where you're at. Amen. Don't blame your circumstances for where you're at. You can change your circumstances. You're not a victim. You're a victor, glory to God. And so these negative thoughts will come in, and a lot of times we have these thoughts, and we can change. You can change your destiny. You don't have to stay where you're at. You can get unstuck. The Word of God will unstuck you in whatever area you're stuck in. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so what we need to do in the next verse, it says here, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what do? When the wrong thoughts come in, you cast them down. When you make a mistake, the thought comes, you're stupid. Have you ever had that thought? You're dumb. You're stupid. How stupid could you be? Dumb, dumb, stupid, stupid, stupid. Has anybody ever done that? Don't ever call yourself stupid. Don't ever call yourself dumb. Why? You become what you say about yourself. You're not stupid. You're brilliant. You say, what? Pastor, I'm brilliant. There's an area in your life you're brilliant in. You might be more brilliant in taking out the trash than me. There's an area in your life you're more brilliant than me, glory to God. Amen? You have brilliance in you. You are a masterpiece ready to make it happen. You have brilliance. There's areas in your life that God has gifted you and graced you. You think it comes easy. Oh, that comes easy to me. You're brilliant. And when you start realizing how brilliant you are, you won't be putting down what God has created you to be. The Bible says, you know, give heed to every good thing that God has put on the inside of you. Not every bad thing that you deal with. Heed every good thing. You're brilliant, glory to God. So you have to cast down those imaginations that will try to get you to say the wrong things. So what do I say, Pastor? What do I meditate on? How do I stay in the Spirit? How do I walk in victory? I'm glad you asked. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, glory to God. And when you meditate on the good things, not the bad things, then what happens is it brings peace in your life, it brings faith in your life, it brings hope in your life, and you'll be able to stand against all the storms that will try to come against us, glory to God. And you can stand against any storm, against any circumstances, because you can take dominion wherever you're at by the words that you're saying out of your mouths. Start speaking life and don't speak death. Speak life to those dead situations and you will see life. You have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ residing on the inside of you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens and makes alive your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, speak life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you're helping us to take dominion with our words. You've called us to be kings and priests. Kings decree and declare, priests pray and intercede. And I thank you, Father God, you're calling us to do those things, Father God, through words. And when we speak those words, things happen. And Father God, I thank you, Father, for the people here this morning, those that are watching and listening, and perhaps you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the first key for you to walk victorious in this life under the Heavenly Father. So I want to encourage you, if you never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ, do that now, and you'll walk in that victory life that you desire to walk in. Say this and mean it out loud. Say this out loud and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.